Alloway Parks Recreation and Forestry Committee meeting, Tuesday, September 25th, 2018. It is 5:31.
All right, call the meeting to order, starting with the roll call. Lee Bougie?
Here.
Bob Ferguson?
Here.
Angela Kowalczyk-Adrians? Here. Kelsey Prescott?
Here.
Dan Fox?
Here.
Dina Mooney?
Here.
And Trustee Rob Atwell?
Here.
All right. Is there any modifications to the agenda? If not, I'll entertain a motion for adoption.
So moved. One second.
Agenda approved. Approval of the May 22nd minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, public appearances. Information. Pooches and Pipes special event.
Just wanted to give the committee a little review on the Pooches and Pipes special event that we held this year. It was quite the success considering the weather. We held that on August 2nd. That was at Greenout Park. Just a recap of what the event was. It was our first ever inaugural event where people could bring their dogs or pets to the park. We had live music as well as beer, soda, and food truck vendors, and some as well as some vendors that sold pet-related items. Being that it was kind of a misty, cool, rainy afternoon and evening, the numbers weren't that great, but pretty good for what we thought was the first event. Around 300 or so people we estimated were there. The weather was very good for dogs, but better than if it was, say, 90 degrees.
Yeah.
We did have a space that we had fenced in with temporary fencing, off-leash area, and that was a great success, big hit for everyone. Not a lot of feedback, but the feedback we did receive was, for the most part, positive. Looks like we had a post-event meeting with some of our volunteer helpers and organizations, and we're going to look to potentially do two events next year. One in earlier summer, June time period, and then one maybe in September, fall. They want to, like a Barktoberfest, I think they called it, so something around that time period. So.
Both in Green Isle again?
Both in Green Isle again.
Did you get a final tally on the dollars generated?
It was post expenses about $3,500, which was split between the organizations, which was the dog park, Mazakowski Family Dog Park, and I'm drawing a blank on the other organization, which was the
Rescue?
Yeah, it was the rescue organization.
Happy Ever After or anything like that?
Well, anyway, it was that pet rescue organization out of that's from downtown Green Bay. Lucky Seven Dog Rescue.
Did any proceeds from that come to the village at all?
For that first event, it was just split between them. We did pay for all of the expenses that were incurred by the village prior to splitting up any of those proceeds. So.
Which breweries were there?
It was just no breweries at this one. It was just Dean Distributing.
Okay. But they brought their chocolate lab porter.
There was a chocolate lab, yes, and which was a great hit, actually a bigger hit than what we expected. They ran out of that.
It was pretty busy when we were there.
Okay.
Although I felt bad for the two volunteers that were on poop patrol for the owners that weren't cleaning up after their dogs.
Okay. To tell you the truth, I didn't see a whole lot of that.
It was in the off leash, so I think they were busy chatting and whatnot, not paying attention.
Okay. Yeah, and I think we had two escapes from there.
Did you really?
And that's what happened is, you know, people were chatting and all of a sudden the dogs, you know, broke free, but they were quickly located.
The gentleman that was minding the entrance caught one.
Yep.
Sucker tried to sneak out.
Yep, yep.
Yeah, he was pretty good at it.
Yeah. No, it was a good success and got a lot of good publicity. And, we're looking forward to doing it again next year.
PH Martin, Webster Park Concession Building Update.
Another project that we worked on this summer. Just give a quick update on that. The building is finally complete and was actually in use the past few weekends for Alloway Buccaneers football. We still have a few punch list items that we've got to finish up with the contractor, but nothing major. And great building. It was a nice project, and very thankful to work with the Buccaneers on that. A final value that we've received from the contractor is about a $274,000 structure, and the village did that loan of $115,000 to the organization that is payable over a 10-year period. So. And that building will also be, during the football season, obviously the Buccaneers will be utilizing it exclusively, but during the off season, summer months, we'll have the ability to rent that out and get some revenue for the use of that. So.
All right. Optimus Park improvement updates.
Another project, a couple of projects we were working on. This was projects that we've worked with the Miracle League of Green Bay on. The playground and surfacing was completed earlier part of the summer. Our playground actually was, last fall and into the spring. And then the rubber surfacing, we had that installed. So that was put in place for the summer. A lot of use out of that now. Well, it was a lot of use before, but even more now for that playground and park area. So that was a great addition. Parking lots, you may have seen the work going on over there. The existing parking lot will be paved, I believe, tomorrow, if it didn't get done today. And, I know that they were working that way, so, hopefully it got done today. And then the Kolb Street additional parking, they have the excavating done, and they're laying the base material, hoping to get that work done. They've got some concrete work that they've got to get done prior to, but looking to have that done, obviously, by the end of October. I believe we'll almost double the amount of parking. At that location, addition of about 36 to 38 additional parking spaces by adding that Kolb Street parking in. So, with that work, we've estimated, tallied up, but looks like the Miracle League has contributed over $1 million now since 2007 to the village. So,
awesome.
Yeah, that is. So. And we hope to continue to work with them as well as the Buccaneers and other sport organizations and that on improving our park facilities in the community.
That's wonderful. Okay, discussion item on the sports organizations seeking park and facility sponsorship funding.
This is a discussion item. Actually started, I was talking with Pat. Pat's with the Buccaneers organization, fundraising chair, correct?
I'd be a little strong.
Okay, all right. but this also kind of goes a little bit beyond just the Buccaneers. It could involve any of our sport organizations or organizations that we've worked with regards to trying to come up with funding mechanisms to do capital improvements in our parks, or you know, help fund operations, things like that. You know, I got to discussing with Pat about ways that they can come up with funding mechanisms, sponsorships, naming rights, things like that, to help pay off that loan, you know, and as well as in the future down the road, help, you know, with operating expenses. But I know other sport organizations, you know, are looking to find those types of things as well. So I kind of brought it as an overriding thing that we want to look at, not just for the building over here and the Buccaneers. So a few items before we get to talking about it. I know that Brad had started working on a policy with regards to these type of items, but currently the village does not have a policy with how to go about allowing you know, naming rights, sponsorships, things like that on public facilities. So we did do an ordinance change, and I believe it was in 2017, if you recall, the signage ordinance changed off-premise signage to allow for like advertising banners at the ball diamonds at the parks, you know, where they could put banners on the fences or whatnot and use
that
as a...
That team that came in.
Correct, and that's how it started. Yes, correct, and that's kind of how it started, and we went from there, and we had a few of the, I know the girls softball organization utilized that a little bit this year, you know, got some sponsorships on some of those signage, so, you know, that's one step that I believe, you know, that we've gone towards.
And the ordinance was a change from something that was strict, and now it's
correct.
Been loosened?
Okay. That is correct, yeah. Previously, there was not allowed off-premise advertising anywhere
okay.
with anything.
So that's a village ordinance?
Correct.
That you're referring to? Okay.
Correct, that is. So now,
just,
you know, that's...
Just so I'm clear, on when you say off-premise, you mean on-premise, right?
Off-premise, like...
From where the business
is. From where the business is.
Oh, okay, got
so,
it.
So, you know... Yeah.
Good.
Does that
got
make
it.
Sense?
Yep. Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, so now the next step is we're looking at options, and in our industry we're starting to see it more and more of ways to generate revenue. Of, you know, is there the opportunity to do field naming, you know, sponsorship agreements with a business or you know, an entity that would, you know, say have a 10-year agreement in place, X amount of dollars per year. Building naming. Sponsoring dugouts, sponsoring, you know, scoreboards, things like that. So that's kind of where I wanted to start the ball rolling. And then, you know, Pat's here to answer any questions that the committee might have with regards to what they're looking at to try to do. Because they, you know, we realize that ultimately we're going to have village board approval on being able to do this type of things, but the Buccaneers want to kind of get an idea of the direction that we think that we'll be able to go so that they can start kind of getting the ball rolling and getting things put in place. So they can start seeking some of those dollars. So.
And I don't want to hijack the, if you guys want to have a broader discussion, but I have kind of an outline of what we've done on fundraising and maybe where this would fit in, potentially fit
sure,
in. So,
sure.
And also a printout from our website, the Buccaneers website, that kind of starts down that road of different levels of, you know, corporate sponsorships or individual sponsorships. So maybe I could pass these two things around.
Until my work, they just did naming rights on a water tower.
Yep. Yep.
Probably saw that.
No, I did see that. I did
see
that.
The Burns and Attic one?
Yeah.
But what is it?
They got a sweet deal on that.
The advertising on the water column?
Yeah.
For
$50,000.
A town?
Chilton.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the company that makes the water tower is right next to it. So they paid $50,000 for naming rights on the
for a
water
period of time, or
nope, just a one-time $50,000 payment.
Well, it's a one-time thing, but what'll happen with a situation like that is there's a time period until they got to repaint the water tower.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing that that's when
it
right.
That was
so
one of the easiest ways.
I'm guessing it's
right.
$50,000 to paint one of those.
So that very instance, that it's a giant billboard for it, is what it is, because
yeah.
They put their name on that one side of
the. Imagine
water.
The guy that's lost in this country trying to figure out where he is, and he's like, "Never heard of the town Burns and
Attic." Do we have any idea of what people think about that sort of thing? About public spaces being sponsored, or are there any studies or feedback that we've received on existing sponsorships?
I don't personally have any, you know, with regards to any studies or anything like that. I do know that school districts have been going to doing this more
right.
and more. You look at their sport fields.
Just look at the Performing Arts Center over at Ashwaubenon now.
Yep. And they're getting, you know.
Yeah,
that's a beautiful facility.
You know, whether it's, you know, a family that donates or, and we do have a little bit of precedence because, you know, a Resch family, East River Trail, you know, Dick Resch has donated a lot of money to this community, you know, and the village has put his name on a lot of things. You know, with regards to.
So I guess the question there is, was that as a thank you in honor of, or was it as a condition of? Because then you're already setting precedent
correct.
For naming rights.
Correct. Good question.
Mm-hmm.
I can't answer that question the way you put it. I'd have to ask her because I wasn't here when that took place. Do you recall me at all? I'd have to find out about that.
I think it's all in the way that you present it. You know, if you go out and you present it as, hey, what do you think, should we do this? I think you're going to get a significant amount of pushback. If you go out and you say, hey, these private organizations are really taking the next step to try to fund their own projects,
mm-hmm.
and this is what we're going to lay out and put in place, what do you think?
I think that's a great idea.
You get a much more welcoming.
Just putting it back on the organizations that they're trying to take ownership and provide those funds for themselves rather than get them from other sources, such as, you know, the residents of the village or anything else for that matter. I think people appreciate organizations or individuals that will take ownership of their finances, especially, and try to make them so that they can be solvent.
Yeah, and you know what, Chris? Are you finished?
Yes, no, absolutely.
I guess the precedence has already been set. We have park benches that are sponsored.
True, true.
And there's a fee that is paid.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
But that's not conditional at all. I mean, that would be my biggest concern, I think, is that there would be some condition for the sponsor in saying,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but we want you to use this material, or we want you to, you know, use this contractor
to
build
you mean,
this,
yeah,
or
type
you know,
like
what,
that.
Whatever
I
could happen that way.
Sure.
So that would be one of my concerns, I think, and then the other one would just be, are we going down this path where public spaces, there's not a sense of ownership from the community because we're just letting, you know, sponsors come in, and it's like, I don't know, how do you feel about the, it's a beautiful facility, the Ashwaubenon Performing Arts Center, but how do you feel about seeing the name Capital on the side of a high school building? I think that's kind of weird. I think it's a little, you know,
I think it's
this
the
is
future.
Our public space, these are our kids, you know, like we're paying for their education. And
With shrinking budgets and people not wanting to pay anything more in taxes, I think you're going to see that more and more and more.
Yeah.
A great example is the recent storms. The city of Green Bay, obviously, they drowned themselves on the east side during these last storms. And there was only one news outlet in this metroplex that was brave enough to try and lay it out for those of us that read the news as to why that occurred. And one of the things that stuck out to me was it'll cost tens of millions of dollars to repair. But if people around here all say no new taxes, but the voters in this county laid out $300 million 16 years ago to refurbish a 50-year-old stadium. But they won't lay out tens of millions of dollars for sewers. Same thing's going to happen around here. You want to upgrade a park or something like that, the taxpayers are not going to go for it. They're going to say, no, our taxes are too high as they are. What are you doing with our money? You're not being fiscally responsible. So where does that leave us when we have something that needs to be done or something that needs to be paid for? So in essence, some of the voters are actually pushing us down this road to begin with.
This may be getting into larger discussion, but I think you're giving them an easy way out then. If we don't want to be marketed to in every public space we're in, then we don't do that as an option.
Sure.
For people to pass on paying for the facilities.
I agree with that, but at what point, where's the tipping point? When do people finally say enough's enough?
I guess when they don't want to see their parks falling apart, in my opinion.
And hopefully they don't. That's the hope. It's like, okay, well, I don't want to see my park. Yeah,
we did a survey, and the residents care about the parks, they care about the trails, and they're going to.
Well, and I think in circling back, and I certainly understand what everybody's saying, I think it's all in a way that you present it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not, hey, it's going to be higher taxes if you don't say yes. Yeah. It's here's an opportunity for these private organizations to help fund the facilities that ultimately become property of the village of Alloway. The new concession stand up with the Buccaneers. You know, that's how much did you say?
$274,000.
Yeah, $274,000 gift. I think it's fair to let them try to generate some revenue back on it, you know, to help offset whatever the case is. I see where you're going with it, though. I mean, when I go by the baseball field in Clintonville, it looks terrible. You know, they've got all those banners hanging on the fence and half the paint's wiped off of half of them, and I don't know if it's because they didn't pay for it or whatever the case is, but the maintenance of it, I think, has got to be something written into the agreement, you know, or some sort of uniformity. Maybe it's a plaque, or maybe it's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
It's got to be something where it's not junky.
Yeah, I agree. And I was just going to say, when we talk about the precedence of, a park having a sponsorship, or I mean, a bench having a sponsorship, I guess, and the trail, too, it's a little bit different because those were provided and then they got their name on. This is advertising to earn money to make purchases. I don't know. It's a little bit different. So
I totally
get it.
There's
not quite the precedent there, but kind of.
We've got a situation. Well, a couple of things. What's the difference with Optimus Park? They raised $1 million for us. Was it named Optimus Park before they raised $1 million there? Did they put the Miracle League in there? We named it Optimus Park. We've got a park named after a huge fundraiser for the village.
Yeah.
Second thing is the difference I'm hearing is in your case, Pat, you'd be raising money under the name of the Buccaneers to put naming rights on fixtures or facilities within the village.
Correct.
But really, the Buccaneers get the money. The village doesn't get the money. We get the fixture. Is that how I understand this? If you were raising money for a scoreboard and you wanted to get a sponsor for it to put the name on the scoreboard so you could put in a new scoreboard, you would get that money. You'd put it in. It would become village property.
Mm-hmm.
But really, everything was done by the Buccaneers.
Correct. Yeah.
But if you're putting just signage on, let's say, the side of a building, then you're getting that as fundraising for the Buccaneers. Really, we're not getting anything. If you put a fixture up for us, Alloway gets it and owns it. If you put a sign on something, really, you get it. We don't get anything.
Isn't it true that the Alloway will own this building?
That is correct. Yes.
Okay.
So you're looking to as part of this fundraising or donors is to help the organization pay the village back.
Right.
The money that we're loaned. We're letting them raise money after the fact.
Correct.
Yeah, that was agreed upon initially.
With regards to one thing you said, Lee, of putting up signage that an organization might get revenue from, well, that organization, and it was something that we've been working on with field usage agreements and whatnot, then that organization can turn around and pay the village back for services that we're providing to that organization as well.
Yeah.
You know, or help to lower their costs associated with, say, player fees or things like that, which ultimately benefit the kids from the, or, you know, residents of the village.
Yeah, I'm not saying I'm opposed to anything. I just want to understand how this kind of more like almost a three-way relationship.
Well, yeah, I think it's good to discuss it because it's not maybe it's as straightforward as, I mean, we should understand the dynamics of how it's put together.
Yeah,
it would seem to be a collaborative.
You've got the Buccaneers and you've got the village, and so there's kind of a three-way relationship going on, and I'm just trying to understand what that looks like.
You know, and this is going down the path of, you know, like I started this, this facility is the Buccaneers, you know, working with that organization. But Broadview Soccer Complex, we've got five soccer fields in a building over there that if an organization wanted to come in and raise funds to, you know, do some additional improvements, say put a playground in there, for instance, could they put, you know, put somebody's name on one of those soccer fields to raise funds? You know, that'd be the same thing
for the disco.
You know, exactly. You know, so there's, you know, right now we're talking about Webster Park and the Buccaneers, but this can reach beyond that to other facilities that the village does have.
Is the Buccaneers a for-profit or non-profit organization?
Non-profit. Okay. It's a 501c3.
And who else? Is there other teams, or who else benefits from the scoreboard or the concessions?
Well, starting with, maybe you're wondering if there's other sports or whatever. But
yeah, like what is the benefit to the village of a scoreboard?
Well, that's just, I think, just starting with the Buccaneers themselves. They have X number of games, you know, per weekend during the football season. So you have a lot of people coming into the village from the other teams. Many of which are in other communities. So that's a lot of people coming to watch the games, you know, the grandparents, the parents, the friends, and so on. One of the great things about the building is that, of course, now it's much more friendly to, you know, people who are disabled and so forth. But it would be... There's a certain benefit to the village, I think, of just having all of the people come to the games and enjoying the park, enjoying the facility, possibly going to places around town afterwards or before. So there's a pretty significant presence, and there's several teams that would play over the course of, you know, a Saturday as they have the games. Now, that's one compact piece of the puzzle. You know, that's during football season. As far as the rest of the year is concerned, I know that there's been some discussions about being able to, because of how the way the facility is, and, you know, that it's a nice meeting area, you know, potentially to have other events there too. So I think that I'm not 100% sure if the village would do that, or who figures that out.
Yeah. But that was one of the stipulations when, you know, we worked with the organization to build this building, is in the off season the village can rent that facility out for to make revenue.
Yeah.
You know, as a, you know, for birthday parties, for meetings, you know, whatever, things along that line.
The other benefits would be if somebody else were to use the field or something close to the concession stand, some other type of a team or league or you know, just recreational sports. Could you open up the concession stand for that? The answer is absolutely you could, if it doesn't conflict with anything else. But I don't know that there's concrete plans to do that.
Right.
But it would seem that there'd be an opportunity to do that.
An
even a scoreboard?
Scoreboard's there, right?
Yeah, there is, but that, you know, that's just...
So what other things are... Some of the other things that you're looking to fund with the sponsorship, do they all have additional benefits to the village beyond what the Buccaneers would use them for?
Well, the funding is designed to pay for the building. There isn't anything more that we're looking to add.
So the benefit would be in that the village gets their money back in the end.
I guess the most black and white benefit would be the village gets their money back.
And probably a more quickly time period, you know.
Rather than a 10-year period. And I think, you know, I'll be honest, I'm not chairing the whole thing. You know, I'm a financial guy, and I have, you know, I would have some questions. But this is one piece of the puzzle. And just to maybe update the group here, there has been kind of an informal team working together and trying to do some fundraising, just getting the word out, you know, sending email letters to parents who have been involved in the program over, you know, several years, even some alumni, kids that have played. And so that's one plank, if you look at the top item there. Individual donors, just networking, word of mouth, talking to people, you know, people that are interested in sports, people that are interested in kids, people that are maybe local. Then you get into the corporate donors, and it's a little trickier. I work for Beige Engineering in Kaukauna, and we have many of these things kind of come across our desk, and there's a level. Maybe it's a couple $100, maybe it's $500. If somebody brings it, you know, they're championing a cause, they bring it to our attention. But there's something theoretically that sort of flies below the radar for most companies, where you're going to conceptually support something by writing a check. And Beige does that quite often. Now, if it were to be something more significant, you know, the library, for example, in Little Shoe, Kaukauna, that was a different thing that we did. That was a more targeted, you know, sponsorship, if you will. So I put down sort of item C as routine corporate donations, and I think that any businesses within the Alloway area, any businesses that some of us who are trying to help out have contacts with, hey, just pick up the phone, talk to them. Are people interested in supporting this youth organization? Item A is sponsorships, and maybe I would offer up that Matt Baumgartner, who's kind of been the president now for a couple of years, put this together on the website, these different levels. And this is just an opportunity for people to go out there and donate. And to give you an idea, the background is that this was out there already last year, and I think maybe even the year before. And there was no concession stand, right? So this was sort of general donations, looking for sponsors, looking for people that want to support the organization. Now, if you go out on the website, it's, you know, it's kind of tied to the, well, here's our big initiative, here's this new facility. But it's really the same stuff that's been out there. So then you got all these different things going on. Are we missing an opportunity? Was really the discussion. I'm aware of some conversations with other, you know, corporate entities that seem to have, you know, some interest in donating large sums of money. And that's not to say they won't still do that if we don't have naming rights, but we just wanted to know, how should we move forward? You want to be clear when you talk to some of the corporate entities. But I can appreciate the discussion on, you know, what kind of a road you're going down and so on. But so anyway, to sum it all up, there is a fundraising effort going on. This is kind of a vision. You know, there's a lot of work to do yet. There's a period of time, so it's not drop-dead urgent here. You know, we could put some things in place and have them all kick in next year, for example, and it would still be okay. The Buccaneers are obligated to pay off the loan over a 10-year period of time. So it was really just, if we wanted to do something like this, we'd want to do it collaboratively with the village. I mean, obviously there's some check boxes here. You have to do it collaboratively. But I think more in the spirit of, this could be kind of a cool thing that we could do. and even really looking for some guidance, quite frankly, you know, because we don't have a specific, you know, here's our plan, you know, here's 5,000, 10,000, 20,000. We'd be very open to the ideas that the board would have.
Pat had a good point. I'm involved with an organization where we're trying to do the same thing, raise large amounts of money to put in a four baseball diamond sports complex. One thing when you go to a corporate organization and you're asking them for money to help sponsor something, you need to give them information that is, this is what you get for your dollars. Not like, we're not quite sure, you know, what we can give you. Can you give $1,000 type of thing? When you go to a business, you need to lay it out and let them know, for this amount of money, this is what you can get. And that's where that whole conversation went when it came to, okay, can we allow these organizations to go ahead and ask these, you know, for corporate sponsorships or donations and say, for X amount of dollars, we will put your naming on the football field, for instance, for a 5-year period. You know, that
yeah,
type of
thing. Right. There would have to be something very specific. You know, this is what we're getting and for how long.
How much did Martin have to give? Is that a permanent sign on there? Martin?
That is permanent, mm-hmm. to have that family name for that park. I don't recall how much, you know, okay. the Martins have given, you know, to the village for that. But you're right.
That name is out there now, and we have. There has probably been a conversation or two, but, you know, maybe there's some sensitivity there. Maybe you have to touch that base before you implement. You know, I don't know if it flies in the face of what was done before to have all of a sudden have all these corporate names splattered all over the building, and here's, you know, here's Martin's name on the park.
That a conversation can just be takes place. I mean, they're pretty open-minded people.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, but I just think out of respect, you should have
that dialogue.
Yeah, and we will. We'll figure out how to have that.
You brought up a good point, too, and I think it's just important to throw it out there now. And I was thinking of it earlier, and you reminded me of it again when you said splashing names all over.
It's got to
be tastefully done, and nothing can be permanent. I know you were saying that tongue-in-cheek or facetiously, but that is something that I think has got to be really important, that we're not painting anything on the side of the building.
Right.
There's nothing. It can't be permanent because we've got to be able to take it back.
Well, obviously, I'm here to support the effort, not shoot it down. I think it can be done tastefully, and we listed. There's been a lot of discussions about what might we do, and you know, there's going to be some really cool trophy cases inside the building. You know, there's going to be this meeting room where the team will be able to go in and view film, and the coaches will work with them. If you're familiar with the organization, they do a fabulous job. I have my son played for the Buccaneers for a couple of years, but I know the people. You're not going to find coaches of that quality in this type of an organization. That I really think very highly of that group of people.
I would second that.
They've been around a long time. Coach Hammer and Dutka right here.
So. And you know, it's
remember Coach Hammer?
I
played a long time ago.
What are we looking to do here with this discussion? We're not making any decisions on specific.
No, we're not.
In the context of the fact that they're building us a $250,000 building for the village, and they still owe money, I don't want to hamper their ability to raise money. I think we should be interested in helping them raise money because it's coming back to the village. But I think the village has to be a critical partner in anything you're out there doing of any substantial amount.
Which is beyond this, right? This is already done. So it's looking
for
additional
things. Yep, this is
available.
Anything that would have a naming right, like for a field or a... I think the village has to have some aspect of say in that because they're naming a piece of the village, in essence. So, yeah, I want to allow you... My feeling is let's help them raise money, but within
some guidelines by the village.
Isn't this ultimately something that needs to be decided by the village board so that policies can be drafted? So at this time, we're just discussing it, but our next step would be to have an agenda item where there's an action where we can make a recommendation to the board.
Which I kind of go back to that first item that I brought up. There is no current policy.
Yeah.
Is that maybe our first step? Is that, you know, we look at generating a policy that helps answer a lot of these questions and, you know, brings a lot of the discussion that we've had together so that not only when the Buccaneers are involved, but when the next organization comes and asked to be able to do this, we've already got that policy put in place. This is how you go about doing it. This is the steps we need to go through.
So you're suggesting you would develop a policy, we take a look at it, take it to the board, or we're
I think it bears investigation. Yeah. You take a look at it and see.
I feel like I've gone to parks, playgrounds, and you see, like, this piece of equipment sponsored by whatever, and it's just this little...
Yeah. Well... Yeah.
Maybe it was over
here. Over here at the Miracle at Optimus Park.
Just
the Miracle
have, like, League. Little plaques on it. Yeah, kind of like what you were saying, that's super cool. Yeah.
The stage out at Life Fest has
very
buy a brick.
Size of,
right.
But and that is permanent. So if you buy a brick, you can have anything engraved on it that you want.
Brick or board. Okay.
But that's a little bit different than what they're looking for. I agree with you that some sort of policy needs to be put in place. Maybe we use this as kind of the flagship to that. You know, and I mean, I employ some common sense, you know, nothing permanent, you know, no painting, and even if you name the field and put somebody's logo on the field, it's going to be gone come spring, you know. They're just going to pay for it for those 8-10 games, whatever it's going to be here.
Yeah.
But that might be really important to that particular, you know, company to have that exposure.
On the other hand, if the trophy case has a name on there, trophy case donated by whoever, then that could be there for a long time.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's there is a tasteful way to do it. There is a right way. I mean, there's not only one right way, but I think there's wrong ways to do it for sure. But I think maybe to go back to the people that I'm maybe representing here would be, is there a way that we could conceptually somehow agree to take some next steps? And I'm not sure what that would be, you know, or how we would help do that.
I don't really feel like we can provide you enough guidance to go and say to a donor that we can do this. All we can say at this point is that we'll move forward with a policy that will go to the village board, but I don't know that we could outline this. Less amount of details of what they.
I would agree with you. Unfortunately, at this stage in the game, it's going to be kind of a slow wheel because it does have to go in front of the board, and it has to go in front of it as an action item, and it has to be there 2 weeks in advance, and it has to be because we're starting a whole new policy. I wish it was something that you could say, yeah, that looks good.
Yeah. I mean, part of it was to gain some clarity on.
Does anybody see any problems with this? I don't see any problem with this.
Nothing stops them from selling game day signage that would only be up for the day or whatever, banners that you take down.
And I think they do that already.
Or like your stuff in the programs or...
Well, the programs, exactly.
Nothing prevents
it. It's all the intangible stuff.
Or even the trophy cases.
Right.
Yeah, and that's already donated probably in there.
Brilliant.
Well, and I wanted to maybe paint the picture here that we have a structure in place. We have a framework. We have a vision in place already. And then here's where this would fit in. And it does, again, I still think it fits in next year, if that's how long it takes. So we just wanted to kind of know where it stood and are there some next steps? What can we do to maybe put some more specifics behind it? I don't know if that would be helpful, if, you know, you walked in and said here. But it seemed to me it was more important to have the conceptual agreement first and then go forward.
Is there a 2018-19 goal you have in mind for fundraising, like, urgently now?
I don't think urgently. There is an individual donor who's pledged to provide, to match the first $12,000. And we are getting pretty close. I think we're up around $10,000.
Okay.
So that... I think there was something a little more urgent, but I think we probably hit that goal, or we're going to hit that goal.
And is there, like, normal revenue from the organization that goes to pay off the loan as well?
Could conceivably pay off the loan, but there's just sort of the operating expenses, and that comes from, you know, fees that the families pay and other things, the concessions and
you still need to buy updated equipment.
Exactly. There is stuff. Exactly. And I talking to Matt today, the president, he said, you know, oftentimes somebody will step forward and they'll buy, like, uniforms. So that stuff does happen.
Happened last year.
Yeah, he was a pretty popular Packer player.
Yep.
Stepped
down. Yeah. Used to play for the Packers.
Took the money and ran.
What's that?
Took the money and ran.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the real
gave his money and ran.
I guess the elephant in the room at some point will become the overall cost of that building. And
but at this point in time, you don't have a date that you need to act upon with regards to, like, your matching donor. Is that we have to expedite this within the next month, but maybe, you know, we'll have a little bit more time to go through and...
You know, I'm going to couch my answer on that one. There's the loan payment, and I think that's probably already been made. I'm not in charge of the finances of the club, so there may be some contractor payments out there that might not be covered by the loan. I don't know that for sure.
Okay.
And I don't know how that's being handled. I based on my conversation today and everything I've heard up to this point, I don't sense that there's an urgent need.
Okay.
But I also don't think it would hurt to move it along if there's interest in doing it.
I do think one thing that would be helpful, and I know you don't know until you kind of go in with an idea with some of these donors, but what kind of level of support are we talking about, and what are they expecting to get in return? I don't have that number in mind. Like, are we talking about $50,000 to get their name on the side of a building, or like?
Yeah, I mean, something like that. I've heard that exact statement, but with the $25,000 instead of $50,000.
Yeah.
Something like that, though. And you could come up with several other versions of that.
Because I think that would change the policy to some degree. It's like, all right, well, if it's a dime a dozen to name a side of a building, if it's $5,000 or something, then I don't want to sell our village property for $2,500 or whatever. You know, it's got to have some value.
Maybe we have some guiding... some direction on what certain items are worth in the policy.
Yeah.
You know, for, you know, an organization, so that a football field and a soccer field are apples to apples. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not selling one per se for $25,000 and the next one's $1,000.
Yeah, and you might want to set it as a percentage of the value of whatever it is that you're naming, because then you don't have to update the policy on a regular basis.
Right.
Well, would it? I mean, we certainly could do a little more, put a little bit more specifics behind it, and we could find out the conversations that have been taking place and see. I mean, there would be no reason not to give you that, you know, what we know.
Sure. Sure.
And let you kind of run with that.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, I assumed it'd be an interactive process, and, you know, you have some interest in this, and you've been involved in other fun. It was somewhat asking for a little guidance, too, you know, what makes sense, what's appropriate, you know, how should we do this, how can we be successful?
Okay. Is there anything
any other
more
questions
that
or comments? That
are you just going to automatically put it on for action?
If I get it done by then, I will work on that, and then, you know, once I've got something to present, you know, then we will bring it back, take a look at it, and
that's what I would suggest the direction might be, is maybe you sit down in and say, okay, this is what is absolutely not going to happen. This is what could happen, and this is green light, go, and put it together. Rather than you going and putting together all the specifics and then bringing it back and then, I don't like that, or can we reword that, or can we...
But it sounds like you've already had some of those conversations, right?
Some conversations, yeah, but it's not not enough to put it out
there. And the other thing I can do, too, is reach out to other communities and see
see what they've done.
See what they've done,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and other organizations.
Just not Chilton.
Well, it says Chilton on the other side of the
world. You know, I can look too if it would be helpful. You know, we just did something with a Mile of Music in Appleton.
Sure.
And we didn't do the naming thing, but it's like, you know, our president was saying, well, for X amount of dollars, you know, they'll name the whole weekend after you. And
a Tenderland heard about that.
Is that what it is?
Seemed like it.
I don't even know.
Seemed like it.
I really would like to go to that. It sounds cool.
Let's write that into the policy. No Tenderland.
Yeah, so I think what you're saying is, are there some kind of barbells here, some bookends to the whole thing?
I think Chris can put together for you.
Okay, that'd be really helpful.
Because I can already see this happening. You're going to put your criteria together, and you're going to put it out there, and
then
split the hairs, and fall within underneath this umbrella, and then go with it. That'd be my recommendation.
Like that.
Because I look at the list here, and some of them don't give me any heartburn. Cabinets, trophy cases, specific rooms.
You guys are just concerned about
the exterior.
Exterior of the building, I think.
Yeah, there's a pretty big difference between trophy case and exterior of the building.
Yeah, you're right.
I just made
that's the knee-jerk reaction.
I can understand that.
And that's the stuff that I think we have to spell out. You're not painting the building.
No additional
billboards.
We already have signs.
Or if it is naming, it's not with a logo. It's with a specific name.
I wouldn't be opposed to a logo, but anything
permanent. Well, you might not. I would be.
So is it possible that we could have some, maybe I'm jumping ahead here, but is it, based on what you're saying, maybe within the guidelines, some broad guidelines, maybe there are some things that we could potentially move forward with?
I don't want to be out of school here.
Well, I don't.
Do we have?
I don't want to make any promises.
Authority?
I mean, can't keep.
Okay.
No, I would say, you know, things such as like the trophy cases are not a fixture in the building anyway. They're not affixed to the walls or built in.
Sure.
So things like that is something that the organization, in and of itself. Really, you're the only organization that's going to utilize them because it's full of trophies and paraphernalia, you know, from the past. So, you know, things like that.
It would never be opened up as a warming house or anything like that.
Not in the wintertime, though, because it was not built to
heat.
Correct. It gets winterized.
Keep above freezing, though. Well, it does get winterized.
It gets winterized in the wintertime, so all the water gets drained.
Trophy cases. I mean, even scoreboard for that matter.
And other organizations have done scoreboard. You know, the Little League, they've got names underneath the
banner.
Underneath the scoreboards that.
Mm-hmm. But interior, exterior of the building, and specific rooms, cabinets. You know, hard.
Permanent.
Hard
structures.
Permanent structures.
Right. Yeah. Part of the building.
I think Chris needs to put.
Yeah.
Kind of. Here's the umbrella.
That seems reasonable.
You know, and there may have, and I need to have this discussion with staff, but there may have been historically some pieces and parts of things that have happened, you know, and which need to be all wrapped together and put into, you know, a policy so that it's from this day going forward, we're doing the same thing, you know, and it's not case-by-case hodgepodge type of stuff.
Yeah, and it may even be something that needs to go into zoning code as well, so there's uniformity, same way there is with signage, so that you don't have different plaques on different buildings.
Potentially.
Same with the monumental sign that's needed, you need to have certain conformities, so there might be something in code.
Okay.
I'm not questioning your ethics or anything. Overall, is there any expectation when they raise money? Does 100% of it go to the loan payment? Does 75? Does once it gets what 75? 25? 25 you get to keep for operations. 75 we get for the loan. Or are we just expecting them to pay us as much in a year as they owe us, and they get to keep the rest? I don't expect an answer on that, but that might be something you consider in that policy. Yeah.
Well, I would think that if you're writing a general policy, you're looking at a very specific item for one organization. The other organizations may want to use that for their operations, and you can't really specify because they may not have a loan out with us, so I don't know if that would even be relevant to the policy.
But
but something to think about.
I still want some answer on that.
I would agree, because they could raise bad amounts of money and say, well, here's your minimum payment, see you later.
And maybe that's okay. I don't know.
Yeah. I think as long as they're meeting the terms of the note that was written,
that's all.
I suppose. I mean, I don't have a problem answering from where I'm. I'd say if we're raising money for this building, it should go to pay off the loan. That's my thought. But so if you have $50,000 that you just raised, you don't have to wait. You can make those payments ahead of time.
I think the leadership of the Buccaneers would probably breathe a lot easier once this board is
burned. I have no reason to think that anybody's not thinking the way I'm thinking on that. So I'd say we're pretty much in line with that, Lee. Yeah.
Okay. Any other discussion on that? No. All right. Well, thank you,
Pat.
Thank you, guys. Yeah.
Thank you.
So next item is discussion action.
You're dismissed.
unless you want to.
Putting out a memo to the team.
Yep.
So just my own peace of mind, because this just drives me nuts.
Yeah.
If it's wet and soggy, tell them not to park on the grass.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
It's common sense.
Yeah. We're working on that. We're working on that.
Driving me crazy.
There's cars coming down the walkway again.
Sorry.
Well,
that's okay.
You're excused.
Yeah,
now
I'm excused.
Yeah, coming down the gravel.
Jeez.
Okay.
Like,
okay.
Well, thanks a lot for your time.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
All
right, discussion action on fiscal year 2019 Parks Capital Improvement Project Recommendations.
At the last meeting, we discussed potential items to look at for the fiscal year 2019 budget for capital improvements in the parks. Just wanted to get some final direction from the committee as to some thoughts that you guys might have with regards to what we're looking at putting in the budget. A few of these items, and I put together a little memo for you ahead of time so you can give you a little opportunity to take a look at that. A few of the items are annual improvements that we've been doing over the years that we'll continue to do that are funded through the first three things there, the park signs, park furnishings, and decorations and banners, $13,000 that's annually put into our capital improvement budget for items like that. I'm recommending that we do the Webster Park sign for next year, just because the condition of that sign is.
Are the P and the N supposed to be lower, or are they just a flat?
No, plan? It's yeah.
It's not artistic license.
No. So. Right. Right. So that would be what we'd look to replace for next year, and then park furnishings are typically picnic tables and benches. We've gone to that low no maintenance type of benches and that. And then the next item on there is our park pavement reconstruction work that we'll be doing. And as I've said at many of our meetings, this was something that we've worked on with our public works department, and we've gotten this incorporated over the next decade or so to incorporate it with their street reconstruction plans, and would it involve the borrowing of and this is just a small percentage. The park stuff is a small percentage of the overall borrowing of street reconstruction that the village would be doing. So, but allows us to know and plan what we're going to do every odd year, every other year on the odd years. So next year we're looking to do the Green Isle Roadway, and then the pavilion parking lot and the maintenance, the parking lot of the maintenance building. And then in 2 years following 2021, then we'd do the remaining parking lots at Green Isle Park, which would, by the end of 2021, then that entire park would have reconstructed asphalt, you know, and then we'd move on to our next location, because overall, a lot of our facility or our asphalt in a lot of the parks are in poor condition, and this is a way to be able to put a plan in place to take care of those items. So, anyway, next year's would be in the range of $280,000, which would be on the borrowing end of that. So, the last three items there are some of the items that we had talked about. I did include a new item there that wasn't, I didn't previously talk about in May. I might have discussed this last year, I don't recall, but the sight lighting at Green Isle Park. I thought we could potentially do this with our operating budget, but we're finding we're not able to. But doing a replacement of the lighting, which is very aged, and upgrading it to LED lighting, so for energy efficiency, and that. I don't currently have a payback on what that is, but every year LED lighting gets more and more affordable. And
didn't they do that in a baseball diamond? What's the more cost efficient?
Those weren't LEDs, though. Okay. Yeah, that softball diamond? Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, they were new lights.
Yeah.
More energy efficient, sure. But those were not LEDs at that time. You know, we're looking at like $15,000 a year over a 6 year period. We'd be able to transition all the lighting out in that park.
How many fixtures is that?
That would be approximately six or seven fixtures.
And you might find out that by the time you got to the end of that 6 years, that the prices even come down, because they are just.
Yeah. Well, look at the, you know, the ones you can buy for your home now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's amazing how inexpensive it's become. So, another item there is the playground replacement at Lang Lane Park, and then renovation of the East Lawn Park tennis courts. Possibly, and this would be an item if we decided to go down this road, that we would make a decision as a committee, but possibly converting or adding to making pickleball courts. We've had some organizations contact us looking for pickleball courts, which is a shrunk down version of tennis.
You know. They can work them. Can they work them both?
They can. You can put them on both, and we have painted pickleball courts on our tennis courts. I know Village of Ashwaubenon built last year, I believe it was, six exclusive pickleball courts, you know, just for that purpose. And you know, I've heard that it's very popular.
How many tennis courses are Green Isle? Is there two?
At Green Isle?
Yeah.
Green Isle has five.
Oh.
Four or five.
I thought it was four.
Used to be five. Now it's four.
So would you do part of them?
So,
Oh, this is East Lawn.
This would be East Lawn. Okay. East Lawn Tennis Court is the next one that needs to be, because of the condition. East Lawn's way up in the north.
So East Lawn is the one you're looking
corner
at.
Of the village.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how many are there? Tennis courts are there?
There's just one at that location. But the condition of that is it needs to, you know, at some point in the near future, whether it's next year or the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, it needs reconditioning and repainting,
yeah.
And then recoding. So.
Okay.
That second page, I just wanted to bring to your attention a few of the items and some dates that we're looking at. Our capital improvement fund 47, is much like a savings account, where it carries over from year to year, where we can you know, save that up for bigger expense items potentially. Just wanted to point out a few of those, which are some of the playground replacements in the next handful of years, and some of the estimated costs of those type of items. So just so you're aware of some things that might be coming up, you know, in the future. So. And then I did ask if there was, you know, if any of the committee members had any other ideas, anything that you saw out there that you thought we might want to go down that road or look into. So,
you don't have a year for the kayak launch, Chris?
I do not. That item, I believe I can get pretty much funded through grant monies. So it depends on when those grants are available and coincide.
But that's a refurbishment, right? That's not the kayak canoe launch at...
That would be the one... No, this would be the one over at Lazar.
That exists already.
The area exists.
Okay.
Kayaker's Point exists, but there's no dock and launch like they have in Bellevue.
We had talked about Green Isle Park, I think, really early on after I joined the committee, and that it needed to be dredged.
Correct.
And, yeah.
Correct.
But
yeah.
That's
not,
on
not
the
that
same
one.
Thing.
No.
Okay.
That's not one that was in our comprehensive outdoor rec plan at this point.
Oh, really?
Either.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe it was.
I thought
it
was.
But it was kind of a longer range.
Yeah, but if there's grant money for it, would there be grant money for...
For that one as well?
That,
there
yeah.
would be, but you wouldn't want to do the two at the same time.
Yeah.
You got to space those out because otherwise you're competing against yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, for similar projects.
Mm-hmm.
So it's something you'd want to space out. The one at Green Isle would take a lot more effort, a lot more money because of the dredging, you know, and some of that work. Whereas
even if you moved it up so that you didn't have the launch so far back, you'd have to dredge, have it closer to the East River.
As far as closer, farther out from the roadway.
And the thing that would make it unique from the Bellevue one is that you could have, I don't know if you've seen these before, but Minneapolis has these kayak rentals that are in just like these units where you can just, you know, rent from the freestanding unit.
Oh, like a propane tank?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Or like the line lights, you know, those kind
having storage. I know our judge. Yeah, I've talked to the judge quite a few times because he and his wife are really into kayaking, and there's some locations where they just have storage facilities for people where they have their own kayak.
Mm-hmm.
They just that way they don't have to haul it back.
Yeah,
and
there's plenty of room there for both.
That would be
very cool.
But
this
one,
with logos.
But this one would be for Kayaker's Point. With regards to the comprehensive outdoor rec plan, it was put in there at an earlier time period as opposed to the Green Isle one. And if I, would make a recommendation, I would, look at the Kayaker's Point one over Green Isle first anyway because of the Bellevue launch being right across the river, and there's not hardly anything over on the Fox River. There's quite a distance in between the launches.
The Green Isle one, though, or the Bellevue location, so close, but yet so far.
You gotta find that road.
No, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
So,
that big sign there.
Mm-hmm. I have a
just
observation, really. The playground replacement at Lang Lake Park.
Yes.
My kids go to Lang Lake, and they have pretty new equipment.
Correct.
Like, at the school.
Yep.
And I don't think I've ever seen Lang Lake
Park. It's hiding behind the Y.
Because we're always at, the new school stuff.
Sure.
And is it a fairly utilized park? Would it be more utilized with the new equipment? Are we being redundant because there is nice stuff at this school? Is there a better use for the space or something?
Well, there is potentially.
Western Park?
That funding?
Oh, as far as the funding?
Yes.
One thought that we have talked about, or that I had with regards to that, you're correct. Don't be redundant in playground equipment. But is that a potential for the village to offer more toddler age, smaller, younger kid type of playground equipment in conjunction, kind of work in conjunction with what the school already has? Don't put that same age class, but the younger kid stuff potentially there. The YMCA utilizes that park, for some of their programming and that. So, is that a potential for us as a village to provide something that really isn't there, for an age class, type of thing?
Could the school make the decision to restrict access to non-students if they wanted to?
During school hours.
Okay.
Yeah. During non-school hours.
They have to leave it open.
Yeah, they don't have to, but it is.
It is.
Yeah. Type of thing. I think that they would be hard pressed to. They would have to have a good reasoning.
Sure.
But
living around the corner, you don't see a lot of vandalism.
Yeah.
Or anything like that going on there.
But
I just want to.
But it's not unheard of, because in this day and age with security and things like that, who knows what schools might have to do down the road with regards to their facilities.
So you're thinking more like that would be like more of the toddler.
Correct. And that price estimate is reflected in that.
Okay.
Last playground that we put in, the one we put in at Kiwanis Park was $45,000, and that was more of the standard type of playground equipment. So this would be more along the lines of toddler age type of stuff.
You could take the stuff that Green Eye on. That to me is very toddler.
Right.
Green Eye.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or we could auction it off and make some money. So.
Do you know what the pier paid for the playground equipment at Voyager Park?
Off the top of my head, no, I don't.
Just curious how that compares to what you have for Green Eye Punches. Pretty cool park over there.
I'm guessing my number's a little low compared to theirs.
Oh, okay.
But this number, that 113, does include rubber surfacing, I think.
So maybe we should raise that more, since Green Isle Park is our premier park, equivalent to De Pere Voyager Park. We should have equivalent offerings.
Okay.
$300,000.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, so I think we definitely need to plan for the more, especially since it's a little further out, costs go up. I don't think that's a realistic number.
Okay.
That's going to be our premier park.
So make sure you set the reserves high on the old playground equipment ad hoc.
Okay. So I guess, what I'd be looking for from the committee is action to make a recommendation to the village board during our budget meetings, as to what you as a committee would like to see. Which is coming up in the distant future.
Yeah.
Are you looking for this wholesale for the fiscal year 19 stuff on the front page? Is that correct?
Yes, if the committee says yes, we'd like to see all of it, that'd be great. If there's discussion, if you want to pick one over the other, I guess it's...
How many fixtures and furnishings do you get for that $5,000?
Usually get about a half dozen.
Okay. And they're just to replace aging...
Correct.
Stuff?
Aging wood,
Could you elaborate on street decorations and banners for me? I missed that one.
Christmas decorations and banners like we have out here in the roundabouts. And
new ones or replacements?
New ones. Both.
And you don't have them up already? Costco's already got their Christmas stuff out.
I'm not even going to go there. Halloween. No.
I'll move to make the recommendation to the committee if no one has anything else.
All right. Got a motion? Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carried. Future agenda items. Anything the committee wishes to have on the next agenda or any other, any future agendas?
I think we need to have the signing issue brought back.
The sponsorship.
Yes, and fairly quickly, because they're going to actively start pursuing that. We do have a vested interest in it. We should have something on the books to move forward on.
Anything else?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we can adjourn.
We have heat the next time, next meeting.
Yeah, we should.
And then
it should be.
Where are your car hearts?
I am.
Chickens.
You're getting something.
It's
just got cold.
Chicken. I love chicken.
In the last 10 minutes.
Like a little slightly overcooked. Right out.
That's
last
so
night.
Funny to me.
Are we going to get our
colder tomorrow?